Hello. Okay. Hi, SP. Good morning. Good morning. Today we'll be reading from Psalm 42 and 43. It's a double psalm. And so, although in the slide it says Psalm 42, the reason I also want to share on Psalm 43, which is really short, it will become apparent as I share the passage today. Let us pray before we start. Well, Father God, I just want to thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning. I pray, Lord, that you speak to us and give us comfort as we dive into your word, and that this morning we really start the day finding direction, conviction, clarity that can only come through your word and not the words of men. Thank you, Lord. I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Amen. So I'm reading from Psalm 42 and 43. I'm using a translation called the Robert Alter translation. And Robert Alter is a Jewish scholar that many Christian theologians use. Of course, you're welcome to use your own translation, because if you use your own translation, you realize that some of the terms are phrases that you may be familiar with. And so follow in your version. I'll be using mine. Just more reflections and more depths when we use different translations. So you do you, I do me. So Psalm 42, to the lead player and maskil for the Korahites. As a deer yearns for streams of water, so I yearn for you, O God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the presence of God? My tears became my bread day and night, and they said to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These do I recall and pour out my heart when I would step in the procession, when I would march to the house of God with the sound of glad song, the celebrant throng. How bent my being, how you moaned for me. Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him for his rescuing presence. My God, my being is bent for my plight. Therefore do I recall you from Jordan land, from the Hermon's and Mount Nizar. Deep unto deep calls out at the sound of your channels. All your breakers and waves have surged over me. By day the Lord ordains his kindness, and by night his song is with me. Prayer to the God of my life. I would say to the God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why in gloom do I go hard pressed by the foe? With murder in my bones, my enemies revile me. When they say to me all day long, where is your God? How bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet will I acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. Psalm 43. Grant me justice, O God. Take up my case against the faithless nation. From a man of deceit and wrong, free me. For you, O God, my stronghold, why should you neglect me? Why should I go in gloom, pressed by the foe? Send forth your light and your truth. It is they that will guide me. They will bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling place. And let me come to God's altar, to God, my keenest joy. Let me acclaim you with the lyre. O God, my God, how bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet will I acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. Amen. Amen. This is a very, very important set of Psalms. This starts the second book of Psalms. So for those of you who don't know, but the books, Psalms are actually divided into five books. And so many people say that the five books of Psalms are supposed to model in theme after the five books of Moses, which being Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So the first book of Psalms, which is Psalm 1 to 41, some say models after the themes in Genesis. So you see, Psalm 1 starts with a lot of garden imagery, much like Genesis. Psalm 42 and 43 are now the gateway psalms to the themes of Exodus. And the theme is the distance that one feels from God. The distance, it starts with the distance. It starts with saying, and the implication is, I'm far from God. Therefore, I'm yearning for you. I'm yearning for that presence. And unsurprisingly, when you read through Exodus, that's exactly what it is. Where are you, God? And that's why Moses came to be that intercessor and save the Israelites from their slavery and to bring them back to the Holy Land, to bring them firstly to their own nation, but to bring them back to that presence of God that they have been yearning for since the days of Joseph. So Psalm 42 and 43 starts with that. It starts with, as a deer yearns for streams of water, so I yearn for you. My whole being thirsts for God. When shall I come and see the presence of God? And the implication there is, I don't see your presence every day. I don't feel your presence every day. I thirst for you because I'm not quenched. My spirit is not filled. And that's why I'm thirsting for you. So we need to recognize that's the starting place of this psalmist. Now, another very important thing to notice, and this is what links Psalm 42 and 43, and why many scholars say that much like Psalm 1 and 2 are one psalm, Psalm 42 and 43 are also one psalm. And the reason is this. When you read verses 4 and 7, now in your translation, it may be a different verse number. I'm going to see if I can find a similar one in my ESV translation. Just hold, give me a second. So in the translation I have here is that there is a common pattern between the two psalms. In Psalm 42 in verse 4 to verse 7, you see a pattern where the psalmist is challenged. Challenged being either he's challenged in terms of his own personal relationship with God, or someone outside is challenging him or her. And the challenge is simply, where is your God? There's a question that is raised. God's not there. So it's one of two responses. He's not there, therefore depart from him. Or he's not there, therefore my response is, I need to now approach him. And so, for example, in verse 3, probably in your English translation, and verse 4 in my translation. So here, this is Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? And so the subsequent verses, it's like fighting with that. Yeah, where are you, God? Where are you, God, in the midst of this? Where are you, God, in these circumstances? And frankly, that's a question we ask ourselves frequently when circumstances are tough, when there's no clear answer. Either way, when the Bible is not giving us a clear response, and the circumstances show that either way could be a biblical response, but neither way can lead to true harmony or true unity or true sense of peace in our hearts. It's just difficult. Those days do come. And the answer to that is always the same. So even though when someone is challenging you, where is your God? It always goes back to the same response. Firstly, is that we look inside and we're in turmoil. In the translation for the ESV, verse 5, it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now, using the Robert Alter translation, how bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet will I acclaim him for his rescuing presence. It's very common that we will go through that depressive and that depressive bout and cycle. We question, why are we cast down? Why do we feel depressed? Why is my being, my very soul, bent? It's the image of someone that's not standing tall. And I think many of us know how that feels when you're heartbroken, when you're lost for words, when it just feels like there's a death. Now, I'm not saying necessarily a literal death, but for some people, that's what it feels like. It feels like there's a literal death. You're bent in. The sense of turmoil, the sense of tragedy, the sense of loss, the sense of helplessness makes us bend, quite physically bend inwards. You know, whenever you ever feel sick, you want to go puke. You're not going to puke standing up with your back held up high and with your spine strong. You'll bend over a toilet or over whatever, because that's the physical reaction to feeling sick. And this is the physical reaction that our bodies make when we don't know where God is, and we're so sickened by the circumstances, we're so sickened by the hurt that we feel, and we just bend over, and we don't know what to do. And as we're bending over, as we're moaning, as we are in turmoil, the psalmist says, hope in God, For I shall again praise him, my salvation. He is our salvation. No man can be our salvation. No person, not even a brother, not even a sister, can be that salvation. Only God himself can pull us out of that depression, can pull us out of that hurt, can pull us from being in a bent state to actually kneeling before his presence and then looking on his face. Now, what's interesting though, is that it doesn't stop there. At verse 7 in my translation, it's verse 5 or 6 in yours. Because then the next one, which I want to focus on, is this. Deep unto deep calls out at the sound of your channels. That's verse 8 in mine. Verse 7 in yours. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. So after we go through that phase of I'm bent over God, but I will turn to you, we go through another wave of difficulty. Deep calls to deep. The image, it's like, if anyone has ever done water sports, whether wake surfing, surfing, wakeboarding, whatever it is, any sort of sport that requires you to go out and ride the waves, well, for the beginners, you'll be drinking a lot of salt water because perhaps we're not very good. But for the people that ride high waves, and then when you're unable to ride it and you're sort of stuck in this wave and you're tumbling and tumbling and tumbling, that's what this person is talking about. It's like you're going through this wave and you might have been riding high, and then you crash and you're now tumbling in the waves. You can't breathe. Anyone that struggles to breathe underwater, whether it's because you can't swim, whether because the waves are too strong, it's the feeling, again, the helplessness. You're drowning. You're drowning. You're trying to climb to the top of the waves, and yet you're being pushed down by the weight of the water. And it's important that the psalmist writes this after what appears to be a spiritual breakthrough, where you're bent over, and nevertheless you say, God, I'm going to look to your face, even though I'm bent over. And then there's another wave of depression. There's another wave of difficulty. And we go back through that cycle again. Verse 10, why have you forgotten me? God, why have you forgotten me? With murder in my bones, my enemies revile me when they say to me all day long, where is your God? So that refrain comes again. Another attack from the enemy. Where is your God? And then the wording here, with murder in my bones, what that really means is I feel like they're actually out there to get me. I feel like they're out there to attack me. And then I go back to the battle. Oh, God, maybe you're not there. Where are you? Where are you? And what's the response again? We're bent down. How bent? Verse 11, verse 12. How bent my being. How you moan for me. Hope in God. Forget I will acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. And it doesn't end there. And that's why it ties to Psalm 43. Because Psalm 43 does exactly the same thing again. Vindicate me, grant me justice, O God. Take up my case against a faithless nation. From a man of deceit and wrong, free me. So this man, now it's a different issue. Now someone has wrongly accused him of something. And he's saying, instead of me vindicating myself, God, vindicate me. But anyone who has been in that position where they've been accused of something, they want to defend themselves. It's very natural in our flesh to defend ourselves. And here, this person is taking the high road. He's saying, I'm not going to defend myself. God, you defend me. You vindicate me where I am righteous, if I'm righteous for the matter. And so again, though, we go back through the same cycle. Oh, but God, why should you neglect me? Why should I go in gloom pressed by the foe? And this is then, it ends in a highlight. So it's almost like there's, if you can think of Psalm 42 and 43, much like, it's almost like the psalmist is climbing a mountain, but this mountain is not one straight path to the peak. Sometimes as you're hiking, you go low, you go high, you don't actually know whether you're clearly reaching the peak just yet. And so this is what's happening on this journey of faith, that there are times when you feel like you're reaching the peak and then you take another turn and you go down again. And then you're still on that path, you're still going forward, but you feel like you're going around the mountain and maybe you're going down and up. But Psalm 43 ends, and it's like, even though it seems like there's a cycle, you've actually been reaching closer and closer to God every time you're going through this process. Because here, there's a change from verse 3 and 4. Send forth your light and your truth. It is they that will guide me. They will bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Let me come to God's altar, to God my keenest joy. Let me acclaim you with lyre, O God, my God. How bent my being, how you moan for me. Hoping God, for yet will I acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. There's now a non-ending sequence of sanctuary language, of altar language, of worship language, because now the psalmist is now in that prolonged state of being in God's presence, having broken through that depression that has come time and time again, repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And that's why it's important, in my view, to read Psalm 42 and 43 together. Because if you just read Psalm 42, frankly, it's pretty depressing. But reading Psalm 42 and 43 together, you're seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. You're seeing that peak of the mountain that you've been on. And that Psalm 42, when it ends, it's like you're midway on the mountain. You're midway in the tunnel. You don't quite yet see the light, but you know the light is there. But you're going through this depressive doubt, up and down, up and down, up and down. And Psalm 43, it ends with, Lord, come to me. Let your light shine into me. I'm calling out to you. And now you're seeing, wow, I'm on your holy mountain, finally. I'm in your dwelling place. And that's the race of faith that we're in. That's the walk of faith that we're in. There will be days when we feel like we're at the top of the wave. There will also be days when we're saying deep calls to deep, abyss calls to abyss, and I feel like I'm drowning. And no biblical passage, no well-intended brother or sister, no accountability partner, no house church leader can really completely bring healing into our hearts. Although, of course, it's important that they are in our lives, that they do speak truth and they do keep reminding us of God's goodness. The feeling of true pleasure, of healing, of being brought back to the top of the wave so that we can breathe, only the Holy Spirit and only God himself can do that. Man will fail, but God will not. And this is the final point that I want to share with us today as we meditate and as we pray for our community, is that we can never be sensitive. We should always be more sensitive, more loving, and more recognizing that the Christian faith is a walk of victory. We are, as a state, we are victorious. We have, God has achieved victory on the cross, and we wear that on our shoulders. We wear that on our chests proudly. The cross is our identity. The cross was not an easy feat. Jesus went through many bouts of, he may not use the word depression, but Jesus went through a lot of emotional turmoil. He knows how he feels. He knows how we feel when we go through emotional turmoil, because that's what he went through. The greatest turmoil, the greatest anxiety he ever felt with his, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And for some of us, maybe we are in that Garden of Gethsemane right now. And even though we're not sweating literal blood, we feel that way. Maybe we're not. Maybe today we feel like we're in a good place with God. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, there are those of us within our congregation and those of us within the body of Christ, not just at SP, but at other churches, where they are hurting. They're going through this depressive doubt time and time again. And frankly, I think all of us at one stage will go through that, if not what we're going through right now. When we're going through that, there is no rational response. There is no rational step. There's no rational characteristic of what a Christian should do. Because if we read Psalm 42 and 43 together, we realize many of us may not act rationally when we're in that depressive bout. We are spiritual beings, and that we do go through waves of emotions. We also cannot be simply put in a box for people to define us as this and this and that person, this and this and that personality, because it really isn't quite simple. One day we could be extremely loving, another day we could be extremely angry. One day we could be extremely faithful, another day we'd be extremely faithless. One day we may operate out of confidence and security, another day we'll feel incredibly insecure and that we lash out and we externally process. We're not simple stories. And God is working through us in the chaos of our personality and our lives to get us into order. All of us, every single one of us, we have good days and bad days. And I want to say, that's okay. And this is what the psalmist is going through right now. The psalmist is recording right now. It's okay to not be a simple story. It's okay to not feel like you're achieving that victory right now. It's okay that you feel overwhelmed. And God's saying, just stay on that path. And there will be days when his presence will be really strong. Remember those days, cling on those days. But when you go through the next bout of emotional turmoil, remember that it's okay. It's okay. And that you're as long as you're still on that path, Jesus is the one that has our back. Jesus is the only one that will always have our back, even when brothers and sisters don't. Even when we feel like man has failed us, even when we feel like our leaders have failed us, Jesus is the one who will always be that source of comfort. He will always come through when people don't. And for the leaders of us who are listening right now, we need to be compassionate. We need to be empathetic. We need to be listening. We need to listen because we, frankly, we may be too quick to diagnose when someone has an issue and we think, well, the answer is this verse. The answer is this formula. The answer is this discipleship. The answer is to be honest. Yes, that might be the case for some issues. But these two chapters are telling us it's not that simple. When people go through waves of emotion, when there is so much hurt, when so many things that we're struggling with, we need to approach with such love, compassion, and sensitivity because God is loving, compassionate, sensitive, and he is there with us when we're going through the ups. He is there with us when we're going through the downs. He is like that friend. Well, not like that friend. He is like what Job's friends should have been. Job's friends did not do this because they were quick to diagnose. They were quick to correct. They were quick to bring healing. They thought, I've heard enough of your expression. I'm tired of all your hurt, Job. I've now sat here with you 7, 8, 9 days, not talking, but enough. We need to diagnose your issues right now. And yet Psalm 42 and 43 is the perfect friend where as long as you're still hurting, I'll sit by you because it's not about figuring out what's wrong right now. That's not the issue right now. But rather, it's more, let me sit with you side by side, and I want my presence to be your healing. I want my very presence to be healing. See, Psalm 42 and 43, there's nothing about right or wrong right now. It's just simply God's presence is the source of healing. It's just his presence. And anyone who's been heartbroken, who's been depressed, who's gone through these difficulties will know that the presence of a loving friend, the presence of a loving spouse, the presence of a loving family member just sitting there weeping with you, frankly, speaks volumes more than anyone trying to give some advice. That advice will fall to the side, but that presence is what sticks with us. So let us be present in our friends' lives. Let us be present in our members' lives. Let us be present because that's what God does. He doesn't quickly diagnose, but he just wants to share his presence with us. And in that presence, as we feel healed, then we begin to identify the issues. Then we begin to identify how to overcome these waves of emotions. So can I just invite Bernie to lead us in worship today. you, Pastor Ernie. Before we start straight away, I just want us to spend a bit of time to pray. Now lead us in prayer. Can we spend a moment firstly to meditate? Let us go back before the presence of God and know that His presence is always here with us. His Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, He's always here. Even if we feel abandoned, disappointed, neglected, we thank you, God, that you're there. We thank you, God, that you speak life. We thank you, God, that even when man fails, you never fail. Your faithfulness endures forever. Your love, your loving kindness endures forever. Man's love doesn't. Your love does. And I thank you, God, for that. I love you, God, for that. Thank you, Jesus. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.
I've I'm confident a season changes, your faithfulness remains. Oh God of my presence, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. God of my presence, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. God of my presence, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together. God of my presence, God of my future, you write my story, you hold it all together.
Such a great song. Your faithfulness remains. Mountain tops and valleys low, your faithfulness remains. Let us never put trust in only our human relationships. Never let us put trust in promises that could be broken by man. But let us put trust in the Lord. The Lord will never break his promises. The Lord will stick to his guns because he never changes. The Lord is the only one that will have true integrity. The Lord is the only one that will always be there, even when we were not looking for him. He's already by our side. And Lord, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for being that unwavering, unchanging, everlasting presence. In all of our lives, we need your presence. We want to see you face to face. We want to be embraced by you. And we know that's what you always want to do every day, every second of every day. We know you're always pursuing us. Lord, thank you. Let us pray for our community. Let's now pray for those who have been diagnosed with cancer. And pray for those who are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery right now. pray for those that are ill and that they've yet to meet Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus comes to them as they receive healing. Let's now pray for those people that are undergoing infirmities. Let's pray for healing for them too. I pray for the people who are looking for jobs right now. Pray that the Lord really opens doors and just continue to present opportunities. I think there's a praise report for Sterling. I think he did find a job. I think he just updated it yesterday. And in which case, I think we just got to praise him. You know, it's a praise report. It's awesome. So yeah, praise God for Sterling finding a job and for God really opening the door for this. Let's really praise God for that too, and just continue to pray for the people looking for jobs too. Now let's pray for Mission Focus, pray for SPNY, pray for North Korea, pray for our contacts and friends who are ministering in these difficult places in Asia, and also pray for in Asia, not only Asia, but also in the persecuted churches, the Middle East. Pray, of course, for our friends in Afghanistan and the difficulties, most significant difficulties that are happening right there. Let's pray for them. Pray for the Lord to be their everlasting intercessor and that they really are protected from the enemy. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for our weekend gatherings. Let's pray for the Sunday services tomorrow. Let's pray for the Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, Youth, Spin, Spill, Migrant Workers classes. We don't have Word class right now, but P. Andrew is teaching a Bible study class in the afternoon. Let's pray for that. PMC, all the meetings, EG as well. Let's pray for that. Pray for those who are pregnant right now, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Yiling, and others. Yeah, let's just pray for the Lord to really be with them, bless them as they're on this journey of pregnancy. And that the Lord really just helps to grow the baby healthily, and that the baby will be delivered healthily as well. Let's pray for that. Finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our churches in Hong Kong, that we are always that light on a lampstand, that we are really the beacon, like a lighthouse in any times of darkness, in any times of confusion, when there's fog, when it's not clear, that it's the church that provides the light. It's the church that provides the answer. It's the church that provides that refuge. And that in this place of refuge, we look to Jesus as our comfort, as our core, as our cornerstone. Yeah, let's pray for that right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, again, for just when your spirit encouraged these people to pen these psalms, that there are emotions and feelings and cycles that even though these people went through it thousands of years ago, we're the same. We're the same. As your created beings, we're all the same. We're predictable in that sense. But I think sometimes we bottle each other down into stories that are too simple to diagnose. And really, so many of us are multifaceted, and we just need to learn to listen more. We need to learn to be more empathetic. And we realize that really, God, you're the only one that can bring us to a better place, to a greater place of security. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you guide us as we experience your love more daily, and we fill ourselves more with your spirit, with your anointing. And we know, Lord, that we are getting to the peak where we will see you face to face. Thank you, Lord. I pray these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Thank you guys for joining this morning. Hope to see you guys at service tomorrow. And I pray that, yeah, that you continue to experience God's presence in the things that you do this weekend. God bless you.